Good morning. I'm the program director for Addiction Recovery Services.
Okay. Well, in Baton Rouge, we had the coroner, Bo Clark, on the show last week, and he indicated we have a significant problem here, and I guess it's not unique to us. It obviously is not, but it is a huge issue, and you're trying your best to address it, and we'll talk about the meeting this Friday. But what is the situation right now, as you know it? How substantial is this issue in our community?
In our community, it's a reflection of what's happening nationally. As you said before in the beginning of the program, for the first time in the history of the state, we have the number of drug death overdoses eclipsing the number of homicides, the murder rate, for the first time. So that right there tells you how dire the situation is.
And Dr. Jan Kosofsky, who's for 21 years been the executive director of the Capital Area Human Services, this is a relatively new phenomenon, isn't it?
Well, I think that if you really look back in the media, it's been covered for about 3 years now. And I just think that, unfortunately, when it comes to issues around addiction, there's so much stigma and so much shame that society puts on people who have drug addictions or alcohol addictions or gambling or whatever, that it doesn't really get the notice that it gets. And that's why we went after the technical grant that we're going to be talking about on Friday. But the reality is this is an epidemic, and we all have taken the word way too lightly. I think if we had looked at it as an epidemic of an infectious agent, everyone would be getting involved. But it's unfortunate with this epidemic, people sometimes say it's the fault of folks who struggle and that they just need to tough it out. And the real importance of the whole issue with opioid addiction is, I think everybody realizes that there's always opportunities for relapse in any type of addiction when people go into recovery. But unfortunately, with this, relapse oftentimes is fatal.
Yes.
And this is something that hits every sector of the community. It's not isolated in a general area, is it?
Not at all, and it really hits every age group as well. You know, I think if we had more time, we could talk about how this came about. Came about pretty innocently through prescriptions that physicians were giving people for chronic pain, recovery from surgery, wisdom teeth, all sorts of folks from young to old, and that now we see this epidemic has gotten so big, we haven't even commented on the fact that the lifespan of Americans is now dropping. Because of the fact that we're seeing 91 people a day in America are dying because of opioid overdose. And let's not leave out the fact that problems with alcohol and any other drugs continues. It's just been eclipsed by how severe and how high the death rate is for opioids.
Well, I mentioned heroin deaths at about 13,000. Well, prescription drugs like OxyContin and Vicodin killed almost 18,000 people in the same year. And this is more pronounced than gun homicides. And I've often mentioned on this show that we live in one of the most violent communities in the United States, and we don't talk about it enough, but yet we talk even less about this. Why is there this stigma on something like this, Jan Laughinghouse?
Well, it's stigmatized because people tend to see it as a moral issue. They tend to view it as something that is weak in an individual, that they may be uneducated or weak-willed. And what we do know is that it is a disease of the brain, and it is irrespective of anyone's personal characteristics. It really is just a disease like hypertension or diabetes. But that's where the stigma comes from.
We hear about it when a famous person dies, like Philip Seymour Hoffman, but we don't hear as much when somebody in the community dies. It's not like a gun homicide. Should we be putting more attention on this when somebody dies from an opioid-related incident?
Absolutely. I think that education is very important because when it comes to these opioids, it can be as few times as your first try or your second that you become addicted. And I think I, like many other people, really didn't understand the draw of this. that people try it and then they become hooked very quickly. It's almost as if someone slipped a computer chip into your brain that you no longer really have the free will. The brain itself is really pushing folks to continue to look to attain that first high. And as we all know, with time, people need more and more. And that's also another very important aspect of this epidemic, is that to get more and more, people are bumping it up. So if they find they're not being able to get the prescription drugs anymore, they can't buy it on the black market or from dealers, they turn to heroin, which is a much more readily available source of it. And now with heroin, we don't know exactly what people are getting, don't know the dosage, and you all have heard of fentanyl, which has also made it much more dangerous.
I'm told that one of the big concerns is those who are fighting it and then they relapse. They're particularly vulnerable then, aren't they?
Right. This is really the most important message to get out to people that have an addiction, as well as people who love folks who have an addiction, and that is that relapse is part of recovery, we know, with any addiction. However, it's so dangerous. We see people who make the decision to go into treatment and get into recovery, and then, like so many other substances, there's a relapse period, and they end up going back to using the same dose of what they used to use before. And what happens is, biologically, their receptors for these drugs has downregulated, and now that's way, way too much, and that's oftentimes when people overdose and die. It's really important to keep in mind that there is availability of naloxone, and I would just recommend that people who are close to someone who has this type of addiction, that they go ahead, you can buy it without a prescription, and it is a life-saving drug. But let's keep in mind, as Dr. Laffinghouse said, that addiction is a brain disease. This is not a choice, especially with these opioids, and that our goal is to see harm reduction. And so we should not let our moral feelings about someone who is an addict or who abuses drugs prevent them from getting help and life-saving treatment.
Question from John in New Roads. Why are so many people self-medicating? Dr. Laffinghouse?
Well, it depends on the person and what's going on. Sometimes people have undiagnosed mental illnesses, and to quiet the voices in their head or to calm their social anxiety, they start to take drugs that make them feel better. So many times, if we can get those folks into proper treatment with medications, psychotropic medications that will help them, then they will not take illicit drugs or take drugs that are not illicit, not illegal, but that are not meant for them in the dosages that they're taking them. So it's best that they seek that help.
When somebody has a major surgery, though, quite often they're given these drugs, and some people have no problem getting off them and others do. Is there any particular reason? Have we solved that riddle?
Well, there's a medical term called iatrogenic, and that term simply means that there has been some type of medical treatment that has caused another issue, and what you're talking about is iatrogenic addiction. So even if these drugs are taken in the amounts in which they're prescribed, the body develops a tissue dependence. And if the person begins to take it, they will experience withdrawal symptoms, and those withdrawal symptoms are uncomfortable. So sometimes people become psychologically dependent on them as well, because they get afraid to go through the withdrawal. The withdrawal from opiates is often described as the flu on steroids. So we're talking about a lot of GI problems, vomiting, things of that nature, cramping that people just don't want to go through, and they get afraid to withdraw. And so you sometimes will see dependence that is created out of legitimate medical treatment.
Front page story in the New York Times today, opioid worries divide GOP on health bill. It states that Republican senators from states that have been hit hard by the opioid drug crisis have tried to cushion the Medicaid blow with a separate funding stream of $45 billion over 10 years for substance abuse treatment and prevention costs, now covered by the expansion of Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. But the story reads that that is running into opposition from conservative Republican senators such as Ted Cruz of Texas. This bill is under debate right now. And there may very well be a vote in the next few days. Dr. Kosofsky, is this a concern?
Absolutely. And I think you go back to some of my first statements, and that is there are biases that people hold towards folks that have addiction problems. And that's just a shame. And it really shows that these biases are so widespread. You know, they're among politicians, the general public. They're even among treatment providers. And so I think the term do no harm, risk reduction is what we need to focus on as our fellow and sister Americans are faced with addictions. I think that what we want is what's best for them, and that whether you feel that they're bad people or not, they're still folks that have a medical need to be treated. We talk about prison reform. That will never happen unless we provide treatment in the community for people that are struggling. If you talk to people who have an addiction, they typically talk about how tired they are, that their life is full of nothing but trying to find the next high and the money or the drug to get that, and they'll do most anything to get it. I think it's very unfortunate that people who have power to help relieve this pain among our fellow and sister Americans make a moral decision that they should not get what they obviously need and what will cost society the least.
Are these numbers continuing to spike, or have they stabilized as far as this rampant increase in the number of deaths?
They're starting to get worse because there are a lots of new drugs that are coming out, a lot of analogs that are coming out. One of the things that we're worried about now is fentanyl. And fentanyl is another opioid, and it's commonly used in medications for people with pain, and it's administered transdermally through patches. And so what's happening is now that fentanyl is being put into heroin, and now we not only have to worry about fentanyl, but carfentanil. Carfentanil is a drug that's used as a tranquilizer for elephants. And it's being put into medications for human beings, and it is dangerous at such minuscule levels. That's why we're seeing in the news now where police officers are overdosing simply by inhaling the air where fentanyl has been, and I'm sorry, carfentanil has been in a suspect's car, or the police officer who had to be administered two doses of naloxone, or what's called Narcan. Dr. Jan was just talking about that, because he actually wiped the carfentanil off his uniform and he coated and had to be taken to the hospital.
Well, so where does it stop?
It stops when we change the public response to this. It's not so stigmatized as being an individual problem of weak-willed, bad folks who are acting now. It is a disease, and it needs to be treated as a disease. It's just that simple. And we have to get folks to organize in their own interest and to not feel so disempowered. We have to empower them and mobilize them, which is all about what we're talking about doing on Friday.
And a question from a listener is, are there any numbers on the number of people who survive an overdose of these kinds of drugs? I would imagine that number is even higher than the number of deaths.
Right. I wouldn't be able to give you any specific statistics on people who survive overdoses, but I will tell you with the mixes of heroin and fentanyl and carfentanil, and people actually, and this is another thing that is happening, Jim, folks who think they are taking cocaine and meth and other stimulants, those drugs, fentanyl and carfentanil, are now being cut into these drugs on the street, and people are getting them unaware and actually coding and having to go to the hospital.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jan Kosofsky and Dr. Jan Laffinghouse. And once again, the meeting, community meeting, slated this Friday, 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning, Capital Area Human Services, 4615 Government Street, Building 2, Room 200.